Well, what's up, everyone? You are now listening to the podcast Life with Lex, hosted by yours truly, Alexis M. Lott, also known online in the creative space as Alexis M. Creative. And listen, on today's episode, we are doing one of my favorite things. I am taking a coaching client, a life coaching client, live on air, letting you hear all the things that I have to say to her and helping her get through a very, very tough season in her life where failure has framed her forward progress. And so on today's episode, we are kind of talking a little bit about failure and how it has the ability to just stop you in your tracks and reframing failure. But before we get into all of that, I want to tell you a little bit about myself, my story. In 2010, I decided to give my life to Christ after the year before being miraculously stopped from a suicide attempt by my grandmother. And from there, I decided that God was real. And, you know, I always kind of knew that, but I decided that I wanted to make sure that I knew that I knew, if you know what I mean. And so I have spent the last 11 years of my life dedicated to my healing process from trauma. And my purpose now is to lead women and men into their purpose and out of trauma. So I'm over at thecherishedwoman.com. And then, of course, you can find my other heart passion, which is branding for men and women of faith, authors and business coaches. So you can find that at alexismlott.com. And it is my job there to help the everyday business owner connect well with their market online. All right. So in today's episode, we are talking about reframing failure. And it is brought to you by none other than yours truly, because on this particular podcast episode, I have no sponsors right now, but that's going to change. All right. We're going to speak it and declare it, but it's brought to you by myself. So over at thecherishedwoman.com, you can grab my latest ebook, where I talk about how to reframe your life in tough days from depression. The title of that ebook is called It All Starts With a Day: How to Begin to Just Take Your Mind Back in Simple Hacks from Depression. All right. And you can go get that at thecherishedwoman.com. And guess what? You can pay what you want. If, you know, as cheap as a dollar, you can decide however you want that to be. But we're going to dive straight in today, because I really want you to listen to this podcast episode of Reframing Failure, because sometimes I believe we get hamstringed on not being able to move past our failures. And one day, y'all, I just had a whole session with the Lord, and I asked him, why do I keep failing in my business in a certain area? And do you know what he told me? He said, Alexis, you have to first stop keeping a record of your wrongs. Whew. It thing still really ministers to me, because before I could even get a strategy from God for him to show me what to do so that I could stop failing, I first had to begin to stop keeping a record of all the things that I had done wrong. I simply just had to make up my mind to try again. So that is my word, my power statement for the day. Stop keeping a record of your wrongs. Make up your mind to try again. So we're going to go ahead and get into this life coaching episode. And of course, at the end, I'm going to come back and tell you how you can be a star on my podcast, and you can get a free 30-minute life coaching session from me. So without further ado, here is my conversation with the brave Miss Ada.
With my mom, it's just a lot. So when you talked about the mindset, I'm like, oh my gosh, I do feel like sometimes because of what I've went through and my trauma, I have put up a defense mechanism with thinking like, you know what, well, this always happened. It's always going to happen. No matter what I try to do, I'm a failure. I'm this and I'm that, especially when things don't go as planned. I definitely feel like, okay, well, who cares? Because guess what? 15, 20 years ago, my dad always told me I don't be good for his laying on my back. Right. So I'm not married, don't have kids. Every guy that I come in contact with, it never lasts. So I guess my dad is right then. All I'm good for is laying on my back. So it's like, when would it ever be a time for me? And then when you were saying how you watch other people get to their milestone or reach, I'm like, oh, that's me. Like, I mean, because I root for them. Don't get me wrong. Right. I root, but it's like, I pay my tithes.
God, when is it ever going to be my turn?
So when is it going to be my turn? I feel like everything that I go through sometimes, I feel like it's always a struggle with me. Mm-hmm. I feel like nothing really happens for me in a good way.
There's no ease. I understand what you're saying.
Yes.
Everything has to be a fight. Correct.
It does. It's never mm-hmm. like, oh, I got a breather. I'm like, oh, thank you. No, it's like I'm always struggling. I'm always fighting. And it's just mm-hmm. to the point where sister gal is tired of fighting.
Right.
I'm tired. When will I get a break? When will I be able to breathe? It's feel like I don't ever get a chance to really breathe.
Correct. And I wholeheartedly want to let you know that I hear you. Like, I hear you. And I think for me, I will tell you, I had that type of word curse spoken over me too. Same family member who abused me. His words to me was, I was going to go off to college, and I was the type of girl who was going to go off to college and get pregnant. And, you know, that was the type of mindset that I was raised in. So I understand what it's like to have someone speak something over you, and you try your hardest to ignore it, but it's still in there resonating and clicking around. Like, will this inevitably be who I become? And so that's why I've stressed the importance that here's where we dive into the coaching and helping us manage all that stuff is we have things that have affected us spiritually, and we have things that have affected us emotionally, and we still have to be brave enough every single day to wake up and live our life. And when you are not happy with how life is flowing, you have no choice but to look back and say, is all that stuff really true? And so you put confidence in that thing. And that's what I feel God is wanting to break in us as women, is it's not that you don't have faith, is that your faith is in the confidence of the thing that you've heard over and over again. Faith comes by hearing by, scripture says, hearing by the word of God. Mm-hmm. But faith as a fact, faith comes by hearing. So anything that we are consistently listening to on a daily basis is feeding our faith. And when our voice has been muzzled, when we have been oppressed, when we have been left in the dark, sometimes we don't know our own voice. So we don't have the strength to even echo what God is saying. Yes, I can do it. Yes, I am more than a conqueror. Yes, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And then we don't know where to in life to apply those things. So what we're going to talk about is, where is Ada's next goal? So your next place of stretching, you said you feel like the Lord wanted to have you create a podcast.
Yes.
And this podcast would be geared towards helping people with their mental health. And the issues that they go through. And so here's the first myth that we have to bust is this, is that God doesn't need Ada to be the perfect version of herself, having worked through all of her issues in order to launch this.
I feel like it though. I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it. And then I took my licensure exam in December, and I didn't pass it. I was off by 5 points.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh, here we go again. I studied my butt off. I studied, and it's like, okay, I couldn't get into med school, couldn't get into PA school. Now here it is now. And I know that's what he wants me to do, because I'm even part of the You Matter thing on Facebook, where we interact sometimes with people who's having a bad day. So, mm-hmm. but then when I hear about people that commit suicide, it's something on the inside of me that cringe a little bit. And I feel like, oh gosh, why am I holding back so much? Like, what is it? And then I feel like I don't have licensure. I realize now my life is not all together like I thought it was. Who's going to listen to me?
Okay, so let's stop there. So during our coaching, I'll interrupt you a little bit when I know that God has given me something. So just bear with me. That's just my personality.
That's fine. That's fine.
I hope you give me permission to listen to you and interrupt. So let's stop right there. So you said a few things that I really want to like hit and hit hard. The first thing is, Ada, you were only off by 5 points. So walk me through the next step of you trying again to take this test. What has to happen?
Study some more.
Okay, now walk me through the practical steps. When do you schedule it? How much does it cost?
Oh,
when
you pay, I paid this time it was $125. Mm-hmm. They won't give me a test. I haven't gotten my test date yet, so I've already rescheduled it. Well, okay. I'm waiting on it for them to give me a test date.
Okay.
The window don't open up between maybe mid-April to the end of May.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's it. So okay. All of that. So that's what
you got about 6 to 8 weeks to kind of get yourself together, get back studying and all that. So I want you to visualize and to understand this is that you are already walking in the purpose God has for you. This is just a man-made test to validate what's in you, but you're already in your purpose. It's just a test to say Ada is now licensed by this certain entity to be able to do it. But you just told me that you are in a group where if a person is feeling like they are oppressed to the point that they cannot live, that you have been equipped with the words to know what to say to them to talk them off that limb. So my question is, what more do you need?
That's a good question. I guess the validation.
Yeah. So what you are seeking is for someone to put their stamp of approval on you to say, I'm good at this, I'm worthy of this, and now I get to walk around and be powerful in my gift. So I don't just have a gift, but I get the backing that says, I am who I say I am. That sound about right. Yeah. Ada, I want you to know that you can study and you can take this test one more time. You can take this test five more times, but you already are who you are. And of course, in the counseling field, there are certain sensitivities that say, before you execute X, Y, and Z, we do want you to have license so that legally, if anything happens to that client, that we can know that they had a licensed person on their team, on their healthcare team. So we understand why you want to be certified. Okay, so we're not going to take away from the seriousness of it. We're not going to take away from it. But I do want you to also see that you are already anointed and called for this, and you're already in it. You're already in it. So it's just a test. And that's the point that I want us to work through, is I want you to separate my sense of self-worth from a test that I have to pass, because they're two totally different things.
Yeah.
Those are two totally different things. Ada's worth, her value, her call on this earth, what God has asked and anointed for her to do, and a test that she has to pass, those are two things. So the first thing is a mindset thing. So you got to have the rest, the sleep, the study habits, the practical stuff to wake up in the morning and go ace that test. But Ada's sense of worth, her call, who she is as a person, it's okay to be a therapist who has a therapist. I'm a coach and I have a coach. I'm a leader and I have a leader. So Ada, it's okay for you to still be working through your own issues as you lead others. You don't have to be perfect in order to start leading, but you know your field, you know your call, you know where you're supposed to go and what you're supposed to do. You are way ahead of the game. So walk me through how this has landed on you.
It's like some of that I already knew. I guess it's just hearing it from somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an overthinker.
Mm-hmm.
This goes back to my childhood once again.
Yeah,
with my dad.
Overthinking, the anxiety that comes from not being parented well.
Yeah,
yeah.
It comes from that. Like I couldn't. Oh my God, it's just so much, and I suppressed it for so many years. It's like I couldn't even tell him how my day was going. He was like, "If it's stupid, I'm going to beat you."
Right.
So you might want to sit there and think about it
before you come to me.
Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting there. No, I ain't got nothing to say. Oh, no, I'm good. Because mm-hmm. I don't want to get a beating. I was already getting, I mean, I was getting beatings to the point where I used to wear, I wore a jacket year round. 365 days out of the year to cover up the bruises that I had on my arms.
I'm laughing because I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing because of how similar our stories are. Girl.
Hey, I wore.
I'll never forget the days where I came to PE and to gym, and we would have to dress out in middle school. None of you remember those days. We would have to go to the gym and dress out for PE, and I would stand in the back on purpose while everyone was getting dressed because I would have welt marks all up and down my legs, and I never wanted anybody to see. I remember that. Yeah.
So I felt like I had to, and then my dad didn't want me. Mm-hmm. He told me this every day. I never wanted you.
Right.
I never wanted a girl. I always wanted boys. I'm like, so why didn't you just give me up or do something? Like,
right.
Was he
your primary caretaker?
Yes, him and my mom was, but he's deceased now. But him and my mom was. Both of my parents in the same home. So I had both of my parents. Mm-hmm. But
it doesn't mean it was
stable. Girl, tell me about it. So I fought for my dad's love every single day. And I just want him to love me. I know I was a girl, but I wasn't. Like, I tried so hard to make him happy. And no matter what I've done for him or show him, it wasn't good enough. Right. So sometimes I find myself, even on my job or even with this test, I find myself trying to prove myself and try so hard, I guess, just to get the validation that I never received from my dad.
Right.
I mean, I can't lie, he apologized on his deathbed. He told me that he was sorry. By that time, I was 18. I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, because he had his own mom and dad issues, whatever he had going on back there. And I told him, well, I wasn't back there in 1953 and 1960. So I don't know. I felt like I had nothing to do with that. Like, why are you making me pay for something that you endured? But then you have three other kids that you adore.
Mm-hmm. But those two are boys. Sons, right? The boys.
Two boys and one girl. He treated my sister like she was a princess. And I got treated like I was a stepchild. Mm-hmm. It had me questioning, are these my real parents? Like, did I get dropped off? Did somebody make mistake and pick me up? Maybe somebody gonna come back and get me one day. Like, this is not my parents. And I remember you talking about your aunt and how you wish she was your parent. There was a guy that I loved to death. His name is Elder Tim. And I wish 1,000 times he was my daddy.
Yeah.
I wish 1,000 times he was my daddy. Because when I got into the church, he talked to me. He was more calm. He was level-headed. I could tell him things. He wouldn't judge me. It was different from what I was getting from at home.
Right.
But I mean, it was different. I was like, why can't you be my daddy? Like, let's go get my name changed.
Right.
Everybody got to know. But yeah, I guess it's validation. Because even with my, like I said, even with my dad, I went through so much with him. And it's like the more that I tried so hard, like the more he just pushed me away.
So that family rejection, and what I've heard you say is that rejection from your father built into you. One of the things that we talk about in coaching and in therapy is it builds in us what's called performance orientation. So that word basically means that instead of us living from a pure sense of who we are, we're living to achieve, to prove, to push, to get things accomplished, to perfect. And we're living to perform. And in essence, that's what it is. We're living our life and we're constantly measuring ourselves. So here's the stick that was used, the measuring stick that was used against me in my past. But I adopted that same measuring stick to measure myself now, even though that person might be dead and in their grave. their trauma and the things that they have gone through are still holding me. And the second thing that we go through is we adopt what's called their internal narrative. So I call parents our starting lineup. And a lot of times in games, like I had a family member trying to make me play basketball for a season because I was tall. And that was the thing. You can play sports. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm not athletic. I might model, but I'm not going to play sports. But I did play sports for a little bit at the YMCA. One of the things, of course, you always had was your starting five, your starting lineup. And I call parents our starting lineup because they were the first people in our lives mandated by God to shape the pace and the flow of the game. And that game being our lives, our internal voice, how we hear ourselves, how we speak to ourselves. And so I'm going to give you a few exercises once we're done, well, on the call, to help you begin to reshape how Ada speaks to herself. Because that voice, anything, even in human language, I have a niece right now who is just a few months old. I don't even know if she's over a month yet. And one of the things that she is already doing is she's mimicking sound. So my sister will say something and she will say something, but that's how we learn how to speak. We learn how to speak by listening and mimicking what other people say. Even the language, all the words that are in our vocabulary are somebody else's words. So what am I saying? All the ways that Ada learned to speak to herself have come from someone. And the origin of those words are not all Ada. They're from someone else. And so what you owe yourself now, knowing that I'm no longer a victim, I'm no longer that little girl who didn't get loved by my father. Now it's my responsibility to fill that bank with a different set of words and to hear my Heavenly Father's perspective of me. And even the substitutions that he sent into the game when the starting lineup when doing what they were supposed to. And God will send us people in our lives who have a better outlook on who we are and a better understanding of who we are than sometimes our very own parents. And while it may suck, like you said, that it can't come from the source, it's going to be okay. It is. And I know that it's going to be okay because if you cooperate with the process of allowing God to give you a new way of speaking to yourself, you will then learn how to feel differently towards yourself. And so one of the best things that I could have done when I began to go to therapy was I learned how to change my own internal narrative. So instead of being impatient with me, instead of being hard on me, instead of like, okay, I failed this test, that must mean I'm a failure. So that's what shame does. So shame says, you failed the test, you are a failure, instead of it just being what it is. I failed the test by 5 points, but it doesn't necessarily mean that my now identity has to change into this thing. But because I'm still trapped with this old word bank, those are the only things I know how to assign to myself. So you got to make up in your mind in a moment, like, but every single day practice. So in a moment, you are agreeing with yourself that right now, I know that I'm worth it. And it's just a test. So what you do is you come out of the loop of judging yourself. You make a decision, you examine it too hard, you overthink, and then you judge. You make a decision, examine it too hard, overthink, and then you judge. So you got to come out of that loop. And the way we come out of that loop is we give you, because you're always going to be making decisions. You'll make decisions about life for the rest of your life. But what has to heal is the way that you talk to you. So write that down. So it's just like a circle. So I have to make a decision. And then from making a decision, what I have to do is I have to now think about the decision that I just made. But then where that decision interrupts itself is when the overthinking starts. So we go up here at the top. And then once you start overthinking, you start judging yourself. So judging is when you come to hard conclusions. Overthinking is the process that you're going through when it doesn't make sense. But the judgment is, let's come to a conclusion. So what are you, so here's my question to you. And here's a good question to ask yourself to move forward. So you can fill in the blank with any decision, but for now we'll use the test as our example. What have I made failing this test say about me?
It's what I'm here for. This is what God has called me for. What if I made not keeping enough money in my account say about me? What if I made not fixing my budget say, like anything, like anytime you come up through the decisions where you are anything in life, what have I made this say about me? And once you start to realize, uh-oh, it's going to take a minute. It's going to take a minute. But once you start to realize, I have judged myself way too harshly. Then that's when you're able to separate how I feel and my perfectionist tendency that comes from my childhood versus let's just look at it for what it is. No judgment, no shame. Let's just look at it for what it is. And that is how, Ada, you take your power back from your father. He's gone. He's in his grave. As long as he still has power over your decision making, he's still alive.
I know it. Mm-hmm. I hate it.
Well, you got to make peace with that. And the fact that you on his deathbed, he apologized to you. And, you know, some people, they don't even get that closure.
That's true.
You compare yourself to other people, but I remember what it was like when I first heard the words, I'm proud of you, from my stepfather and my family.
I've never heard it.
Yeah. So I want to tell you, Ada, I'm proud of you. But you got to tell yourself every single day, I need you to get you some good lipstick and write it on the mirror. Some eyeliner, something that you'll know, Ada, I'm proud of you. And you have to write that down every single day. All right?
Okay.
All right. All right, I'm going to stop recording.
Well, what a powerful, powerful way to end this podcast episode. I enjoyed my conversation with Ada. Did you enjoy it? Did you learn anything? What did you glean? What did you get? And just a big question that I have for you. What are you making your last set of failures say about you? What grand conclusions are you coming to about yourself because you see a pattern in your behavior? What are you saying about yourself? What does that say about you? What are you making it say about you? So I hope this podcast episode blessed you. This interview surely blessed me. As I promised you in the beginning, if you would like to get a free 30-minute life coaching session by yours truly, all you have to do is write this down. This email address, hello@thecherishedwoman.com. And all you have to do is just put in the subject matter, podcast interview. And if you want to be interviewed, just drop me a few lines. Tell me about what you're going through and we will put you on the show. And guess what? We can even make it anonymous if you want to. I do record it, but you know, it'd be between me and you. We can literally say the words without us knowing your name. But if you want to be coached through a tough situation where you can get back on track and to stop fighting yourself for your failures, I'm here for you. So just hit me up, hello@thecherishedwoman.com, and drop podcast interview in the subject line so I can know that it's you. Well, this podcast episode has been brought to you by yours truly over at The Cherished Woman. I have a new ebook out and it is called It All Starts With a Day. It is 5 clear steps to help you reframe tough moments and tough days from depression. And so I give you some very practical tips because I was the church girl who would get up and hear everybody's testimony about how God brought me through and how God made it over, but no one ever gave those detailed practical steps about what that looked like. And so this is my gift back to you for God walking me through seasons where he was very practical with me about the hard things that I had to go through in life. Well, this is it. This has been the end. This is the end of our time together, and I cannot wait to hear from you about what you thought. So, of course, find me anywhere on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, @AlexisMCreative. That is my handle. And drop me some feedback. If you enjoyed this podcast episode, send me a DM on Instagram. That's the quickest way to get in contact with me. And forgive my brain, but I will try to contact you back and rate this podcast, download this podcast, leave me some feedback, and then let me know if this has impacted your life in any way for the better. This has been Alexis M. Lotz, and you are doing Life with Lex. #TheHealedLife. I cannot wait to see you soon.